ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्दे अहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पदान सहगना ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांछा कल्प तरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधु भयेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः।
Translation: You will be thoroughly advised and favored by me, and because of your inquiries, everything about my glories, which are known as Param Brahma, will be manifest within your heart. Thus, you will know everything about me. Please repeat after me. You will be thoroughly advised and favored by me. And because of your inquiries, everything about my glories, which are known as Param Brahma, will be manifest within your heart. Thus, you will know everything about me. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya chaham ridhi sannivishto matta smritir gyanam apohanam cha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, is situated in everyone's heart, and from Him come remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. The Lord reveals Himself in proportion to one's surrender unto Him. Je jatha mang prapadvante tang stathiva bhajam maham. In responsive cooperation, the Lord reveals Himself in proportion to one's surrender. That which is revealed to one who fully surrenders is different from what is revealed to one who surrenders partially. Everyone naturally surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, either directly or indirectly. The conditioned soul surrenders to the laws of nature in material existence. But when one fully surrenders to the Lord, material nature does not act upon him. Such a fully surrendered soul is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. Mame bhaje prapadante mayam etang tarantite. One who has fully surrendered to the Lord has no fear of the modes of material nature, for everything is but an expansion of the Lord's glories, sarvam khullidam brahma. And these glories are gradually revealed and realized. The Lord is the Supreme Purifier, Param Brahma, Param Dhamo, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. The more one is purified And the more he wants to know about the Supreme, the more the Lord reveals to him. The more one is purified and the more one wants to know about the Supreme, the more the Lord reveals to him. Full knowledge of Brahma, Paramatma and Bhagavan is revealed to the pure devotees. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 10.11, Tesham evanu kamparthaṁ aham agyana jang tamaha nāśaṁ mai ātma bhāvastho jñāna dīpena bhāśyata. Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. This is the very essence of Krishna consciousness. We do not want to understand Krishna by dint of our own endeavor. We do not try to understand Krishna or perceive Krishna with our own senses or by studying the books ourselves about Krishna. The process of understanding Krishna or the Supreme Personality of Godhead is by surrendering unto Him. Krishna holds the right to reveal Himself. No one can claim that why can't I see Krishna? Often we confront people, those who challenge, if God is existing, then why don't we see Him? But the thing is that if we wanted to see Him, we could see Him. But we cannot possibly see Him by challenging Him. A prisoner in the prison cannot challenge that why don't I see the king? The same way in the material nature, we, the conditioned living entities, cannot challenge the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and demand to see Him and claim that only then we will accept Him, not otherwise. God or Krishna is the supreme proprietor, the supreme controller, and at the same time He is our dearmost friend, provided we act accordingly. If we become inimical to the Lord, then how can we expect that the Lord will reciprocate in a friendly manner? Of course, He is always reciprocating in a friendly manner, but we cannot realize it. When people demand, why don't we see God? Then the immediate question is that, did you ever try to see God? And if that person is honest, he will say, no, he didn't try. But if we wanted to see God, if we tried to see God, then it's actually very easy to perceive Him. I remember one example that we often give is an example cited by Isaac Newton. Newton, he was actually a theist, but he had a friend who was an atheist. And this friend, philosopher friend of Newton, the atheistic philosopher friend of Newton, he did not believe in God, and often they used to have arguments. Newton used to tell him about the existence of God. He used to try to prove it, but this atheistic friend will not accept it. Now one day this friend of Newton came to his laboratory, and in the laboratory he saw a model of the solar system, the planetary system, and different planets are moving around the sun in different velocity, arranged by gear and lever system. And he was very surprised seeing that model. And he asked Newton, Newton, who made this? And Newton replied, no one actually made this. So this friend again asked Newton, please tell me who made this. And he just kept on insisting that no one made this. Then finally, when this friend was insisting very much, so Newton told him that, look, when I show you this model and tell you that no one made this, you don't believe me. But when I point out to the night sky and show you these innumerable stars and planets maintaining such a wonderful order, and then I tell you that there must be a creator behind that creation, then you don't accept. See what a big fool you are. And so this is how we have to see God. Like when we want to talk about that model, if I point out to the watch that a person wearing and ask him whether anyone made that watch, he will immediately admit, yes, somebody made it. Somebody must have made it. It cannot have just dropped from the heaven, or they don't even believe in heaven. It cannot just have appeared just by chance accident of some assembly of some atoms and molecules giving rise to that watch. So, any intelligent man will accept that there is a supreme being, a supreme creator, who is also the supreme controller. So this is how we begin to see God. Another thing we can also notice, that people say that I haven't got anything, I haven't got anything, I haven't got anything. But if we think it over and try to figure out that we have been living for so many years, we have been maintaining this body for so many years, and in order to maintain this body we had to have so many... Jai Shri Gauri. And in order to maintain this body, we had to eat so much food, we had to take so much oxygen from the air. Now, where did this come from? We always think what we did not get, but we never consider how much we actually got. And if we think, where did it come from? Who actually supplied these things to us? One may say, well, I bought it from the market with my own money. But the thing is, you may have your money, but if the food is not produced in the nature, then no amount of money can buy a grain of wheat. People may say, well, I mean, we are producing the food in the nature by means of our fertilizers and tractors and so on and so forth. But then we can also challenge, well, take all your tractors to Sahara Desert and try to produce a grain of rice. You'll never be successful. Actually, food is produced, food is a gift of the Mother Nature by the mercy of the Lord. By the mercy of the Lord, the rain comes, and that's why the Mother Nature produces the food. Annad bhavanti bhutani parjannad anna sambhava yogyad bhavanti parjanna yogya karma samudbhava. Annad bhavanti bhutani, the living entity is sustained by eating food. Food is the thing that makes a living entity alive. And where does the food come from? The food comes because of the rain. Parjannad anna sambhava. Parjanna means rain and anna means food grains. Food grains are produced due to rain. And how does the rain come? Yogyat bhavanti parjanna. The rain comes due to the performance of sacrifice, yajna. Yajna means offering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whenever we take something, in return we have to pay some price. We have to pay something. We are consuming electricity here, and at the end of the month, the electric bill comes. So we have to pay the bill to the electric authority. The same way that we get the supply of water. Although we feel that as soon as we open the tap, the water just keeps pouring out. But for that also we have to pay the price. I noticed a meter in the toilet that as soon as I flush the toilet, the meter just keeps running. So I could figure out this must be the water meter. And so the water department also will send the bill at the end of the month. So we can see, for anything that we get from nature, we have to pay the price. When you go to the market, when you go to a shop, we can't just pick up something and say, well, I mean, I need it, so I'll take it. No, we may need it, but we have to pay the price. So for everything, we have to pay the price. Now, from the nature, we are getting so many things for our survival. But why don't we pay the price? God is giving us everything, Krishna is giving us everything, and that's how we are surviving. But when it comes to paying the price to Krishna, then we do not want to do that. But actually it is so easy to pay the price to Krishna. Krishna, at the end of Dwapar Yuga, just before the Kali Yuga began, Krishna made a condition. So the patram pushpang phalam toyam jome bhakta prajachati. I'll give you everything that you need, but in return you just give me some fruits and flowers and some water and some leaves. And I will accept it. I'll accept it if you offer it with love and devotion. But then in this age of Kali, people even stopped giving that. People stopped offering even a drop of water to Krishna. So Krishna started an even easier process that is called Sankirtan Yagya, the Sankirtan sacrifice. Krishna said, fine, you won't give me one leaf or one drop of water. Okay, fine, don't worry, just chant my glories. Give me back my name. For that you won't have to pay any price. If you have to pay some money to pick up some leaves or collect some water, or if you have to make some endeavor to collect these things, and that's why you don't want to give it to me, don't worry about it. Offer me something, for that there is no endeavor and there is no money involved. That is, simply chant my holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this is the price we pay this in this age. And actually it is the highest price as one can pay. No amount of sacrifice, no amount of austerities, no amount of penances, no amount of meditation can equal that. Just one name of Krishna is more than everything that one can think of in spiritual as an endeavor for spiritual activities. Generally, austerities, penances, sacrifice, charity, they are considered to be pious activities, the activities that pleases the Lord. But all these activities put together cannot equal to one holy name of the Lord. So potent is the holy name, because the holy name is the Lord Himself. So when we chant the holy name, then immediately all our necessities are taken care of. Anybody who chants the holy name, he won't have to worry about anything else. He won't have to worry about anything else. And he will receive everything. Not only his food, not only the money, not only his accommodation and so on and so forth. He will gain himself, which is the highest thing that one can achieve. And on top of even that, gaining himself, one will get Krishna. Like just by the price of chanting the holy name of the Lord, we can get the Lord. Actually, Mahaprabhu made a condition Jaijan bole mui nittananda dash, shejan achi heribe amar prakash, achire shejan heribe amar prakash. One who says that I am the servant of Nityananda Prabhu, very soon he will be able to see me as I am. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made this condition. Now, Mahaprabhu made this condition to, and Nityananda Prabhu also made a condition simultaneously. Actually, Nityananda Prabhu is even more merciful than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Nityananda Prabhu made a condition which is even better than, even easier or even more magnanimous than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's condition. And that condition is Dingale Hagourango Bole Akbar Sheijan Mor Hoy Ami Hoitar. At the end of the day, who simply says, O Gauranga, O Lord Chaitanya, I become his and he becomes mine. And this has further been elaborated, like Nityananda Prabhu used to go from door to door and he used to beg people that please chant the holy name of the Lord, please chant the holy name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and with that price, you buy me up. So with Nityananda Prabhu used to offer himself at the price of the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So mercifully the Lord has given his benediction in this age. Says, Jatheshtam re bhrato kuru hori hori dhano monisham tato ba shamsharam budhi tarano dayo moi laget idam bahus fotoi ratoti ratayanja pratikrihan bhaje nittanandam bhajana torukandam niravadhi. Jatheshtam re bhrato kuru hori hori dhano monisham. Dear brothers, simply chant the holy name of the Lord. Tato ba shamsharam budhi tarano dayo moi laget. Then I will become responsible to take you across this ocean of material nature. So Nityananda Prabhu is making a condition. You simply chant the holy name of the Lord and then I will become responsible for your deliverance. Nowhere the Lord has displayed his mercy so magnanimously. And idam bahus fotoi ratoti ratayanja pratigrihan. This way, raising his hands upwards, heavenwards, Nityananda Prabhu used to dance and go from door to door. Mahaprabhu also, when he gave the holy name, he said that Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhu kahe kohilam ei maha mantra, iha sabe japogiya koriya nirbandho, iha hoite sarbo siddhi hoibe tomar, sarbokkhon bolo ithe, bidhi nahi ar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that I gave you this maha mantra, you simply chant this maha mantra. All of you get together and very earnestly you sing this holy name, and from this holy name all will be accomplished. Everything will be accomplished just by chanting the holy name. What to talk about accomplishing material benefits? You will get all the spiritual benefits also. Like when one chants the holy name, he gets all material benefits also. If his mind is in matter, if his mind is attached to the material nature, he will get all the material benefits like dharma, artha, kam, moksha. What are the material gains? The material gains are dharma, means pious activities, to acquire piety, artha. Now piety is the subtle price that we pay to get things. Like when you go to buy something, when you want something, then in return we have to pay a price. We have to pay money. But actually in a more subtle platform, it is not exactly the money, it is piety. If you have a lot of piety, if you have a lot of subtle cash, then you can get whatever you want. So we notice that some people get everything so easy. We notice not only some rich people buying things with money, that is of course there, that's in the gross platform, but we notice that some people, whatever they touch, turns into gold. So we have to understand that this person must have a lot of piety. Well, whenever he starts a business, you know, it is a roaring success. He doesn't know what to do with his money, he gets so much. And there are people like that. But of course, that kind of people are becoming more and more rare nowadays. I remember even a few years back, there were so many self-made millionaires in America. But nowadays, those kind of self-made millionaires are very rare in America and Europe. We heard stories about people starting from the scratch. They started by selling newspapers and then becoming the news magnate. Like, here is one in Germany. Yeah, Axel Springer. Huh? Oh, he's done then, finally. But we have to understand that these people had a lot of piety from the previous birth, but now, because of so many sinful activities, people are losing their piety, losing their pious activities. So here, this is what artha is. Dharma means religious activities or acting in according to the instructions of the Lord. And then, by acting according to the instructions of the Lord, one acquires piety or artha. In Sanskrit, artha means wealth. But this is subtle wealth, not gross wealth as such. And then, by the artha, one can fulfill his kama. Kama means material desires. Now, if somebody has material desires, in order to get that, he'll have to pay the price, and the price is artha, or subtle assets, subtle wealth. And by fulfilling all his desires, still when he is not satisfied, one thinks that if he enjoys the material nature, then he'll be so happy. But in spite of enjoying so much, when one realizes that there is no enjoyment, although I'm trying to enjoy so much, I'm still suffering, then he thinks that this place is very bad, so let me just get out of here. And that is called moksha, or liberation. When one is fed up with this material suffering, material misery, then he thinks that I want to get out of this material nature. And that is called moksha, or liberation. Now all these four, including even liberation, is actually material desire. Negative material desire is also material desire. So moksha is a negative material desire. I want to get out of the material nature is also a material desire. So all these material desires will be accomplished by the chanting of the holy name. And it has been analyzed by Bhakti Vinod Thakur that the holy name has got three stages of chanting. One can chant the holy name in three different stages. Jai Shishi Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Those three different stages are offensive stage, then clearing stage, and pure chanting. So in offensive stage, one actually gets material enjoyment, material facilities. When one is chanting offensively, then the holy name gives him all the material facilities so that he can bloop. And in the clearing stage, one becomes liberated from material bondage. Just in the clearing stage, not even in the pure state of chanting. In the clearing stage, one becomes liberated. And in the pure state of chanting the holy name, one gets Krishna prema, or love of Krishna. So, these are the three stages of chanting the holy name. Now, of course, here we have to understand that when we see a devotee being very successful in his service, then we should not think that it is material, or since he is chanting offensively, he is being successful in collecting so much Lakshmi and so on and so forth. It is material as only when he is using it for his sense gratification. But when he offers it to Krishna, then it is no more material, then it is spiritual. So when the devotees are very successful in their service, then it is, we have to understand that he is receiving a lot of mercy from the spiritual master and Krishna. So, as we are discussing, now the best way to pay the price for our gratitude towards Krishna is by chanting the holy name. It is directly expressing our gratitude to Krishna. We are not doing it indirectly, like sacrifice, austerities and penances. They are indirect glorification or indirect acceptance of Krishna. They are all practically in the bodily platform. But this chanting the holy name, the pure chanting the holy name, is in the spiritual platform. Like when we with all earnestness, we sing out to Krishna, we call out to Krishna, that Krishna, you have been so kind to me. You have given me everything. And although I have forgotten you, still you did not forget me. Wherever I went, you always went with me. So, all this while, I was so unfortunate that I forgot you, but now I have remembered you. Now please engage me in your service and please not allow me to deviate from you anymore. So actually chanting the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is actually revealing these feelings to Krishna. Krishna, please engage me in your loving devotional service. Or Radharani, please engage me in Krishna's loving devotional service. I learned my mistake. I realized that due to my forgetfulness of Krishna, I have fallen into this miserable material existence and here I have been suffering so much. Now you please deliver me from this miserable condition and engage me in loving devotional service to Krishna. So this is the holy name of the Lord. This is actually a prayer, the most sincere prayer with absolute understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mention absolute understanding because here we are approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead with His energy, Srimati Radharani. Directly approaching Krishna, we can never get Krishna. But by approaching Krishna through His dearmost devotee, we can very easily approach Krishna. Like Prabhupada gave an example that when you want to approach a very rich man, it is practically impossible to approach him. You cannot possibly please him. No matter how much you give him, he'll never be impressed. Like if we want to impress the President of the United States, I mean, how can you impress him? No amount of money will impress him or no amount of gift will impress him. It is impossible to impress him or win his favor directly. But if I get to know his son and just by giving him a lollipop or a piece of chocolate, we can very easily please the son. And when the father sees that the son is happy, then he also becomes very pleased to that person. So this is how we can please Krishna. It is impossible to please Krishna directly. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has so much that we cannot really please Him by giving Him or by offering Him anything. But it is very easy to please His devotees. If we just do something for His devotee, then the devotee is pleased, and seeing that the devotee has been pleased, the Lord becomes pleased. Like one of the wonderful examples is Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is actually a great devotee of Krishna. Vaishnavanam yatha sambhu. Now out of all the Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva is the leading one. And another name of Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. Ashutosh means one who is satisfied very easily. And how Lord Shiva is Ashutosh or satisfied, or pleased very easily, the example has been given. So one day, one hunter was climbed up a tree and to shoot some animal. And while he was climbing the tree, then it was a bell tree and Lord Shiva was meditating under the tree. So one bell leaf fell on the head of Lord Shiva. And immediately Lord Shiva became very pleased. Oh, somebody offered me some bell leaf. So he asked, so what do you want? Ask for any boon, ask for any benediction. So this is how easy to please the devotee. Devotees are happy just when they see somebody is chanting the holy name. Oh, you are chanting the holy name. You're so nice, you're so wonderful. Devotee becomes happy. And when Krishna sees that the devotee is happy, then Krishna comes forward to help this person. Often devotees say, I heard devotees announce very openly that you just chant the holy name of the Lord and you will be immediately free from all material misery. And he makes a condition, the devotee actually tells him that just chant the holy name and you will become free. Or you render some service, you will become free from material bondage. And when Krishna hears, Krishna immediately comes to his help. Because Krishna, one quality of Krishna is that he never allows the word of his devotees to go in vain. He will break his promise, but Krishna will never break his devotees' promise. And Krishna will not allow his devotees' promise to go in vain. So when a devotee makes a big promise, then Krishna immediately comes and he fulfills that promise. So this is how we must approach the Lord. Now in other religions, we do not see so much importance given to the devotee of the Lord. Or even in Vedic religion also, in other practices, not so much importance has been given to the devotees of the Lord. But when it comes to the holy name of the Lord, then we are directly chanting the holy name with Radharani. Through Radharani we are approaching Krishna. So that's why it has become very easy to please Krishna. Because when Radharani sees that we are doing some kind of service, some little insignificant service to Krishna, then she becomes very pleased. And she immediately tells Krishna, Krishna, please deliver that conditioned living entity. Please bring him back to Vrindavan. And so in order to please Radharani, Krishna immediately fulfills that request. So the best way to approach Krishna is through his devotees, and the best way to approach Krishna is to approach through his best devotee, the dearmost devotee, that is Srimati Radharani. So that's why this process given by Lord Chaitanya, who is a united form of Radha and Krishna, is so wonderful. And as we take that process, then Krishna reveals himself in our heart. As has been explained in this purport, Prabhupada so wonderfully explained that as we surrender to Krishna, Krishna reveals himself in our heart. We don't have to look for Krishna outside. We have to see Krishna in our heart. Actually, we can't see Krishna through our material vision. We have to see Krishna through our heart, through our hearts. Our eyes will become closed in total absorption. All our senses will become closed in total absorption of Krishna consciousness. Then, through our heart, through our love for Krishna, we'll be able to see him. Because our spiritual eyes are actually in our heart. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. When our eyes become anointed with the love of the Lord, with the love for the Lord, shanto sadaiva ridayeshu bilokayanti. A pure devotee sees the Lord constantly in his heart. Sada ridayeshu bilokayanti. Jang shyama sundaram achinta guna swarupam. That sham sundar, that bluish, blackish complexion is the reservoir of all the transcendental qualities. That form of Krishna that has the complexion like that of a monsoon cloud is the source of all transcendental qualities. And that form of Krishna will become manifest in our heart when we begin to render loving devotional service unto him under the direction of some pure devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? You're really making advancement. Because everyone otherwise thinks it's so easy to chant the holy name. But that is chanting just the word, the letters. But when it comes to further advanced stage, when we chant, when we realize that it is Krishna Himself that we are uttering through our lips, then it becomes difficult. But we have to fight that difficulties, and then we'll come to the spontaneous stage of loving devotional service. And then, when we chant the holy name, actually Krishna will start dancing on our lips and tongues. So that is the, that is what Rupa Goswami is saying. When the holy name dances on my lip, it surges from the depth of my heart and comes onto the lips and starts dancing there. Then I wish that I have millions of years to hear that holy name, and I have millions of tongues to chant that holy name. So we have to try to reach that stage. Now you have to figure out whether this is advancement or this is an attack of Maya. Why you are not able to chant the holy name, right? But control your mind and keep chanting earnestly. Then automatically we'll get the taste. Actually it is difficult because our mind is so troublesome. Our mind always tries to take us away to all the other directions, different directions. When you are chanting, that's why it is always preferable that we chant together with other devotees. Because the association of devotees help us to fix our mind. Is that clear? Okay. Hare Krishna. Is there any other question?
Yes. There is an argument which is often put when we are explaining about chanting, or asking people to chant along. They say that we are here in our Western culture. We have been given by God a Western process, which is Christianity. Why should we not follow that arrangement?
I see. Yeah. Well, for a certain period of time, Christianity was all right. But when you get higher things, then why shouldn't we accept it? After all, in the calculation of the Lord, or in absolute calculation, there's no east, no west. The sun comes up the same way it comes up in India as it comes up in Germany. It's not that when it comes up in India it is round and when it comes to Germany it becomes square. Right? So the same way the Lord's mercy is also equally distributed everywhere. Right? In the eyes of the Lord there is no question of East and West. There is no question of Europe. We are not asking you to blindly accept this process. Why don't you read the books and try to find out? We are not rejecting Christianity, but unfortunately Christianity has become so badly distorted that we cannot possibly accept it or benefit out of that. I mean, Christians do not even know what Christianity stands for, right? Like yesterday only you are telling me that even the priests do not believe in God now. Even the churches do not believe in God. And they have become so atheistic. Or I won't say atheistic, they have become so confused. Right? Like, I remember when Tamal Krishna Maharaj met Cardinal Sin. Cardinal Sin is one of the biggest cardinals in the East. He's in Philippines, which is the biggest Christian country, Catholic country in the East. So he asked Cardinal Sin three questions. What is Lord the Father doing in heaven? Right? He must be doing something. He'll get bored sitting in one seat. Yeah? Right? So he must be doing something. So what's he doing? Then he asked, what happened to Jesus from the age of 12 to 29? Where was he? What was he doing? This is the second question. And he had another question, I forgot, I don't remember right now. And Cardinal Sin, who is a nice man actually, he admitted that he didn't know. He didn't know the answer. So, we must not become so blind. I mean, we are not propagating something sectarian. We are not spreading Hinduism. Or we are not spreading Indian culture. We are spreading everybody's eternal culture. Everybody has Krishna consciousness in him. So that's what we are spreading. Anyway, some people will always have this kind of funny arguments. But they are not sincere, that's the main thing. They are not sincere. And unfortunately in the West, due to the materialistic advancement, there are many, many people like that. There are more insincere people than sincere people. And due to the influence of the West all over the world, that's become the case all over the world actually. So many atheistic people. And the unfortunate thing is that they don't want to listen. I notice that if anybody is willing to listen to us, gives us a chance to speak, and listens himself honestly, sincerely, then he cannot help but being convinced. He may not practice it, he may not accept it fully due to his bad karma, due to his bad habits, but at least he'll have to admit that he cannot really deny what we are saying. Is there any other question? Yeah, the parallel thing is that all the religions are also approaching, trying to approach God, and Krishna consciousness is also approaching God, Krishna. But the unparalleled thing is that we have the specific definition and understanding about God, whereas they don't have. We do not know, we know the goal, the destination, but they do not know the goal, right? Like if you know which direction born is, then it is easy for you to approach Bonn, right? You know which way you have to drive your car, right? But if you don't know where Bonn is, then you may sincerely want to reach Bonn, but it will be very, very difficult, right? So all religions are actually approaching God. Actually, all the religions on earth accept God, right? Existence of God. That is a common factor. But unfortunately due to time and due to lack of sincere preachers, those religions have become distorted. Like I remember Will Durant made a comment. Will Durant is an American philosopher. When he was analyzing Christianity, he made a very nice statement, very pertinent statement. He said, religion remains a religion for first few years, then it becomes a philosophy, then it becomes a political convenience, and then it becomes a mere ritual. And this is very nicely applicable to practically all the religions, apart from Krishna consciousness. Because they remain religion when the prophet or the Lord comes himself and propagates it. But then gradually it becomes a philosophy. Then it becomes a political convenience, especially Christianity and Islamism. Islamism actually started as a political convenience. And then it becomes a ritual. Now people do not know why they are going to the churches, why they are going to churches. They just go because their father has been going, their grandfather has been going. And that's why the intelligent people, they become bored. They don't want to go to the church anymore. That's why the churches are empty. Yesterday we went to this monastery here and it was absolutely empty. There was no one. Such a big property, such a nice property. And I was wondering, why don't they give it to us? We can take full advantage of it. But they won't, because their views is so sectarian. They can't have a broader thing. Like, one thing we make very clear right from the very beginning, that God is one. It is not that Christians are one God and we are approaching another God. They don't want to accept Krishna as God because Krishna looks Indian in their eyes. But obviously, if they imagine God, God is not, you know, they won't see God wearing a three-piece suit. Right? Nor will they see Jesus Christ wearing three-piece suit. Like in America, sometimes often people ask me, why do you dress like this? If you say that your process is non-different from what Jesus was preaching, then why are you dressed like this? And I immediately tell them that, look, I mean, if Jesus Christ came today, Jesus Christ was not wearing a three-piece suit himself. He was wearing a robe like ours. And nor is Jesus Christ an European. Jesus Christ also came from Asia, right? And although he is from Middle East, but he actually went to India and his message is very, very Vedic. So Christianity also in its very basis, very root, is very closely connected to Vedic culture. And recently we had a conference in Bombay, the synthesis between science and religion, and there was a big philosopher and religionist from the Harvard University, Harvey Cox. Harvey Cox, he was openly admitting in that meeting that Jesus, he strongly believes that Jesus came to India. Otherwise, how can there be such close connection between Jesus' teachings and teachings in Bhagavad Gita? Actually, if we notice the Old Testament and New Testament, they are not quite the same. Like New Testament doesn't have much to do with Old Testament. But, I mean, New Testament or Jesus' teachings has a lot to do with Vedic culture, the culture that we are practicing. So that is the parallel line. But when they don't practice it, then of course that goes into another tangent. Is it clear? Any other question? Okay, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.